Today's Shi'ez Masechta, Menachas Daf Lamed Hey, we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous Shi'er, the Gemara taught us in which order the parashas and the mezuzah have to be placed. Not only have we learned in which order the parashas of the mezuzah have to be placed, we also spent time discussing the machloikas of Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. What exactly is the proper order? To which the Gemara begins today. If one did not put the parashas of the mezuzah in the proper order, psulus disqualifies the mezuzah. Which Abaya comments, if there's a parash that's supposed to be in the middle, there are four parashas as we know, two on the two outer extreme, and two in the middle. So says the Gemara, if you put two in the one that was supposed to be in the middle were put outside, or vice versa, or Breisel Gavaisa, or one of the outer parashas was put into the middle, that's when the halacha is that the mezuzah will be posel. Aval Gavaisel Gavaisa, if you just reversed the middle parashas, or Bryce La Bryce, or you reverse the outer parishes and put them, and you put them in the wrong place, then the halacha is less lamba, it won't be considered a problem. So Rashi explains, like we just explained, that you put it in the wrong place. Others suggest that the focus over here is not specifically where you put them, but actually where when you wrote them, the halacha is that they should be written in the proper order. And if you didn't write them in the proper order, that's what disqualifies them. Why are we being so specific that if one of the middle parishes was put outside, one of the outside parishes was put in the middle? Deloy, why is it going to be a situation that you're not mekayim the mitzvah? If you have a parasha that's supposed to be on the outside, and since it's a parasha that's supposed to be on the outside, it's supposed to be facing the outside of the tefillin, and if they're not out facing the outside of the tefillin, that's why it's possible. And therefore, similarly, a parish that's supposed to be on the outside is not seeing it. And on the other hand, you put something that's supposed to be in the middle outside. What you're doing is you're putting something that's not supposed to see the outside, seeing it. So if that's the case, similarly, Bryce La Bryce, even if you switch and you put something that's supposed to be on the outside, on the other side, or gvayisa l'gvayisa, nami, or you reverse what's inside, that also should be possible. Because hach debayi l'mechse avir d'yamin, the parish that's supposed to see the outside on the right side, now because what you did is kachazi avir the small, is seeing the left side. With the small, and by doing and putting the left, it's seeing, oh, again, suddenly it's supposed to see the left side because you were seeing the right side. So therefore, it shouldn't make a difference. And if you did it in any way, if you put the parashas in the wrong way, makes no difference if you put something in the middle on the outside, or you even reverse the middle ones or reverse the outside ones, the loch should be loishna, then in all cases, the mezuzah is possible. Vamrav Chananel Amarav, to tutor the tefillin. After we, as we discussed in our previous year, after they put the parashas into the different batim that make up the tefillin, so we have the backs of the tefillin, which we made, and we put the parashas into the four compartments, and now we have leather sticking out from all four sides of the backs. So from three sides of the backs, the leather is not that long. But on the fourth side, That's where the leather is long. And that's what's used as the base of the tefillin. And what we do is we take the leather that's on the three sides, which wasn't so long, and then turn them over into the tefillin. And then you take the leather that's on the longer piece on the bottom. And that is what's called the chitutra. The chitutra is, as I said, that the it's one piece, it's the base of the tefillin. So there's really the tefillin are made from two types of leathers. If it's made from Or Echod, so then what we just explained, and that's the way Rashi explained, what we just explained is most understandable. We have one big piece of leather from which we made the bias of the tefillin, Shel Rosh, and the same thing will actually be by the tefillin Shel Yad as well. And we also have the extending pieces that become the base. However, the halacha is that sometimes the tefillin are not made from Or Echad. They're not made from one piece of leather. And therefore, in that case, what we just described is not what happens. Because what we just described is based on one piece of leather, and there isn't one piece of leather. And therefore, in that case, what happens is we just turn over, we just have the tefillin, but we have to make a base, as the Gemara just said. Amrabaya mabata the tefillin. The mabata the tefillin is, we know, but both, obviously, the tefillin Shel Yad and tefillin Shel Rosh have ritzuas, have straps of leather, and that's the place where we pull through the ritzuas of tefillin. And it has to be in a way that if we want to pull the tefillin in one direction or another direction, that is how we pull it through that hole. And says the Gemara, the rule that's the way the tefillin should be made, says the Gemara, is Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai, that's the way the tefillin are produced. V'am Rabaya, Shin Shel Tefillin. We know that the tefillin has, on the tefillin Shel Rosh, a shin. And actually, the shin appears on both sides of the tefillin. And the aloch that we have to have that shin is aloch l'moshe m'sinai. The Beis Yosef quotes the Sefer Orchis Chaim, the why is it so important to have the shin? Says the Orchis Chaim, we notice that the numerical value of shin is 300. And what the Gemara is teaching us, he says, is that there? What the shin represents is that there are 300 days in the year where we wear tefillin. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov, so we're down to 300 days during the year. Tosfos, quoting the Sefer Shemusha Rabbah, says that we know there are two ways of making a shin. There's a shin that has three branches, and there's a shin that has four branches. And therefore, Tosfos, quoting the Sefer Shemush Rabbah, says that the shin that's on the right side of the tefillin Shel Rosh should be a shin with three branches, and the shin on the left side should be with four branches. But he also says that if you reversed it, it will be kosher. Says the Rosh and the Mordechai. So we just said that the Shemush Rabbah speaks about the right and the left of the tefillin. So the question is, what does that mean? So they say it means the person who's wearing the tefillin, on the right side of his head, he should have three branches. On the left side, he should have four branches. However, the Rabbeinu Yonason says the other way around, that you have to do it on the right of the person who's looking at the tefillin, as looking at the person who's looking at the tefillin. The Beis Yosef quotes the Smag. Where does this come that we have two different types of shins, one with four branches and one with three branches? So he says that we have two places where the letter shin was written. The shin that is in a Sefer Torah, the shin that we write, is it's typically a three-branch shin. However, the shin in the Luchos, given that the luchos weren't written with ink. What they do is they had a four-branched. So to represent those two types of shins, that's why we have these two different types of shin on the tefillin. The Shaila of Tshuvos Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Siman Yud Aleph, quotes that in his time, there was a new minig, and that was the people would take the shin and form a shin on a klaf, and then glue that shin onto the dais, onto the tefillin. And the words of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when he speaks about this, Ani ba'anyi, Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his incredible modesty, Ani ba'anyi eini nimna b'zeh l'heter. I don't agree that that's the way tefillin should be wrote. And he quotes that the Gemara we learned in our previous year says, Tana rabbanan tefillin sh'yah koysval arachat, v'm koysval arba'oyos v'nich v'bayis echad yotz v'tzorach l'davik. That we spoke in our previous year that if necessary, the tefillin shalyad can be written on four parashas and then glued together, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that halacha really has no connection to the halacha that we're learning in today's shir about the shin. And although the halacha regarding the shin is, even though the halacha is that b'di'evid you could take the four parashas of the tefillin and glue them together, so to speak, that has no bearing on what the halacha is regarding the shin. And so too is the psak of the Mishnah Brura and similar mebeis sif katan kuf tzadik beis, that if somebody puts the shin on the tefillin that way, it's possible the tefillin are a possible. However, there are those going back to something that we discussed previously in our shir, that we discussed there are two different ways aware of producing tefillin. There's tefillin that are produced mi or echad, and there's tefillin that's produced not from or echad. So they want to ask on the Mishnah Brura and the Kivego, who are taking such a strict position, why would this be any different from tefillin that was made from more than one or? Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'tzorach shiagia charitz, we spoke about the partitions, and as we see, the batim are separated in tefillin shorosh, they have to go down to the makom atfar all the way to the bottom of the base. Says the Gemara, however, amdimim nadamar kivin deminka, once you could tell that they're separate, that's leitzorach, you don't have to do anymore. The Rashi says that the shame shakai that we're discussing, that the shame shakai in our Gemara is important part of the tefillin, and the shin is on the tefillin shorosh. The dalid is in the back of the tefillin shorosh, and the yud is on the tefillin shalyad. And he says that that's included when the Gemara says that the shin should be halacha l'maish m'sinai. It refers to all three letters. Furthermore, the Gemara that said now that the charitz has to go down all the way to the base, there are those Rishonim that suggest that the Gemara here is not just talking about the shin, but the Gemara here is also talking, the Gemara just said that the charitzim, the separation, has to go down all the way. So there are those that suggest that the Gemara is not just referring here to the charitzim, but the Gemara here is also referring to the shin. And the Gemara is telling us that the shin of the tefillin that we are now discussing has to go down all the way to the base of the tefillin. Says the Gemara, Vamra Baya, high kill for the tefillin, the cloth, the leather on which, the parchment on which we write the tefillin, tzarech lemivdekei, it has to be examined, dilma isbe riyasa, maybe there's some slight hole in it, or be'ina ksivatama, as we learned in our previous year. The Torah says, uchsaf tem, and if there's a crack or a hole in that cloth, there won't be ksivatama. Rav Dimi Madama, it's not necessary to do so. Koma sabodikle, when you write on the parchment, if there's a crack there, if there's a hole there, to then it's going to prevent you from writing it smoothly, and that will be enough. So I saw that the Pais can make 2 points. Number one, even if the Gemara is suggesting that writing is a good way to tell if there is or isn't a crack there, but they ask that sometimes the crack could be so insignificant that even though it doesn't seem like there's a crack, it could still write on it, there might be a crack. So they use this to discuss what we learned in our previous year. We discussed when the halacha requires that it has to be done, it has to be no hole. It doesn't have to be that that we have to check for any microscopic hole. As long as it's not obvious that there's a hole, it's enough. And the same, they say, that there's another way of checking it, by putting up the parchment towards the sun, and we'll see what it looks like. And again, they suggest that halacha doesn't require that we go so far. Moreover, interesting point that the Beis Meir and Beis Levi speak about, says that we know that the halacha, we spoke about this halacha number of times in our shiurim, that the letters of the tefillin, or everything, has to be mukav gvul. Has to be space around the letter. And therefore, the question that's often asked by the Paiskim, is asked by the Beis Meir and the Beis Levi, writing will be a good way of telling if on the spot where we're writing, is there a hole? But that's not the only place that we have to examine. Don't we have to examine the area around the letter? And since we're not writing on that area, we'll never be able to tell if there's a hole there or not. So why is this a good exam? Why is this a sufficient examination? To which the Beis Meir and Beis Levi say that from here we learn that the halacha, that there has to be mukav gvil, is only teaches us that the letters are not allowed to be connected. But if the area around the letters are not connected to each other, even though the space around the letters may not be perfect, they may have a crack, a hole, that isn't a disqualification of mukav gvil. Amar Rav Yitzchak, ritzuas shchayris, the halacha that you have to have black ritzuas is halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. That also is halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. Meisvei, on which they asked, the Braisa teaches us tefillin and kosher nosav l'minam. We could only use leather straps, but they could be ben yeroikus, ben shchayris, green, black, levonis, or white. But, says the Gemara, Aval Adumas, red loy. Yasa, we shouldn't make red. Why make gnai? Because people are going to think that the reason they're red is because Chas v'Shalom, somebody was bleeding, and that's how his ritzuas became red. V'dava Acher. Or another concern, says the Gemara, is that people are going to say that somebody had relations with his wife while he was wearing the tefillin, and his wife started to bleed, and that's how they got red. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Lamed Gimel Sif Katan Yotes, quoting the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, that you have to make the ritzuas black till they are so black like a raven. And the Bi'al Locha over there, Divrei Maskla Ritzuas, says that the way it's done is that they're painted once, then they're painted a second time after they dry, and then a third time, and that makes them very black. The Bishul Halacha also points out that that's the way it should be done l'chatchila, but that b'dievid, if you didn't take such an extreme process, but the ritzuas are black, that is sufficient. The Tosfos says that based on this Gemara, it seems that the ritzuas have to be black, but the batim don't have to be black. However, the Rosh and the Rambam say that even though the Halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, which we're studying now, only speaks about the ritzuas, noihu l'tefillin, tefillin are nice if they're completely black, not just the ritzuas, but the backs of tefillin have to be black. The Mordechai, however, says that the halacha, that the ritzus have to be black, it's not just on the Ritzuas, it's on the bottom. That's included in the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins mitzvah lasis as a batim shchayrim. The mitzvah is both l'chatchila is to do it, make them black. But he says the Halacha is ein zeh ma'akev. The Shulchan Aruch says ein zeh ma'akev. It's not ma'akev. Furthermore, the Bi'ur Halacha points out that what we're speaking here is about the ritzuas that we see. But as we discussed earlier in our shiur, part of the ritzuas go through the mavarta. And what's the halacha on that part? So the Bi'ur Halacha says that technically, the part that's inside the mavarta doesn't have to be black, but it should be made black, because he explains what can happen is that sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, you pull out from the mavarta some of the tefillin, and since you pull out from the mavarta some, you pull out from the mavarta some of the tefillin, that tefillin now is going to be visible, and since that tefillin now is going to be visible, that has to be, as we're learning now, black. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, and says the Gemara, Ma'aseh b'talmidei Rabbi Akiva. There was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, she'kaiser tefillasai b'lashon shelcheles, that he used to use wool, blue wool, tcheles wool, v'lamalai dover, says, and Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything. And I asked the Gemara, Efshur, Sha'is a tzaddik, is it possible that that tzaddik Rabbi Akiva, Ra'as Talmidai, sees his Talmud doing something like that, v'lai michaba, and won't say anything? Amalai, hen, le'ra, he never saw him wearing tefillin that way, because im ha'yamanichai, if he would have seen him wearing tefillin that way, lo'yayamanichai, he would have never allowed that to continue. Continues the Gemara, the Cain, ma'aseh b'Hyrcanus b'nei Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, there was an episode with Hyrcanus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, she'yakash tefillah b'lashon shel argamon, he used purple wool for the ritzuos of his tefillin, v'lo'yamalai davar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus never said anything. And again comes the Gemara, efsha oisit tzadik ra b'nei, is it possible that a son, that a father like this saw his son wearing the tefillin improperly, v'lo'y michabai, amalai hein. Yeah, exactly, that's what happened. L'roya saw, he never saw this, because Amroya saw Laya Menicha. But says the Gemara, Ketani Mia, but what did the Braises say? That you can make them Ben Yerukas, Ben Shcharis, Ben Levanas. That you can make them green, black or white. And we said that there's Allah HaMashim Sinai, that it must be black. Answers the Gemara, Laikasha. Kam b'vifnim, kam b'vichutz. If the part that's visible has to be black, the part that's not, the part that's not visible could be any other color. Ask the Gemara, ibefnim, if we're saying that if they're colored from the inside, that's why it could be any color, but not red, because of Gnai V'Davar Acher, so why is there a Gnai V'Davar Acher if it's on the side that we don't see? Says the Gemara, Ik is zimnin dem is hapnalei. Sometimes the ritzuas turn over. And the way the Rashba explains the Gemara is that it happens that it turns over. If they turn over, if it turns over and it's white or green, it's not that terrible. But if it will turn over and be red, and what red means, as we've been learning the Gemara, not such nice connotations, that's why we're more concerned about red than any other color. So there's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim that if is a nice, it should it be, should both sides be black? From the Rambam it see that noyu letfilin shekulin shkaris aktzitza v'ratzua kula. And the Rambam is saying that we should have both sides of the tefillin should be black, because if we're learning in our Gemara how important it is for the tefillin to be black, we should try to make both sides black. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, but he says loy nagu kein, it's not aminik. The Darkei Moshe quotes the Azarua that there's a minig that the Daki Moshe quoting the Azarua that both sides are black. But the Daki Moshe also says that even though the Azarua quotes the minig that way, it's not what we necessarily do. The Sefer Ois Chaim V'Shalom from the Michas Alozer quotes the Arizal that we should make both sides black, but the Michas Alozer comes out very strongly against that, and he says that our Gemara says that only one side should be black. The Levushei Mordechai says he doesn't understand the Michas Alozer because the Rambam already says that. And therefore, in the Michas Alozer and his Sefer, Mukhe Archaim says that there are those that have the minig, but not everybody follows that minig. And so says the Beresh Chai, that those that have the minig, but there are those that don't have the minig. However, Ramosh Sternbuch in the Shas Chuvas and Hoggis, Chelik Beis, Simachot Beis, quotes the Brisker Rav that if the Gemara says that the outside should be black, to go make the other side black might be a chatzitza. It's a chiddush because a dyeing something, as we're going to see soon, is not considered necessarily a chatzitza. So too, Rav Ozner doesn't say it's a chatzitza, but he says it wasn't the minig. But therefore, we don't have to be makbid. But it's interesting to point out that even though, as we learned, there are many that don't have the minig of making both sides black, the sides of the ritzuis, it's not just the front of the ritzuis, but the sides should also be black. This opens up a very interesting discussion, and that is a lulav should be l'chatchila green. And the question is, can one who doesn't have such a nice lulav dye it, color it green? So is that considered Baal Tosef? So the Shas HaTshuvos Shvus Yaakov discusses this. He says that we're learning in our Gemara that they dyed the tefillin. Not only does our Gemara say they dyed the tefillin, but our Gemara seems to indicate that they dyed the tefillin, not the side that's visible outside. Our Gemara says they dyed it all sorts of colors. So we see that dyeing something is not considered Baal Tosef. And therefore the same, if somebody would take his lulav and dye it green, it wouldn't be a Baal Tosef. However, the Shari Tshuva quotes that was Yaakov, and he says that there's presumably no problem with Baal Tosef, but he does say that there's another consideration, and that is that it's mekach tos. Somebody is buying a lulav. He wants to have a nice green lulav, and that's what he seems to be getting. But really what was happening here was that he was fooled, and it's not really green. It's only green because of colored. So that is not what anybody would say is permitted to do. That wouldn't be... That's not, that we may not do. We could only color it if there's no mekach tos involved. Another consideration is that many times the lulav getting white is a proof that it's yovesh, that it's dried out. And that is a lulav that's puzzle. So if you're dyeing your lulav and it was dyed green, you have to be very careful to make sure that it was not white and the simon that it's dry. It says Martana Tfilin Rubas, teaching us the Gemara Tfilin have to be a square. And that halacha, so, and that rule is halacha Mashem Sinai. Amara Papa, and he says Betofran, it has to be a square when you make the chitutra, and that means when you're pulling the threads of the Tfilin, you have to make sure that you don't pull them in a way that it's no longer a square, and also has to be balachsan. As the Rishonim explained, there is a formula, what is the diagonal of a square, and therefore one times pi, and that's the amount that's how the square of the tefillin has to look. Lema Masaile, says the Gemara, perhaps this halacha that we just learned, there's a brisa that supports this halacha. The brisa says, Oysa tefilosa agula, if somebody makes his tefillin round, the sakana. There's a sakana that the way most Rishonim, Rashi learns, that there's a sakana when he's going to walk with those tefillin, the tefillin may go into his head and cause a wound. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that if somebody's wearing tefillin, which were properly made, the tefillin protect him from chas v'shalom getting hurt by wearing the tefillin. But if you're wearing tefillin that weren't made the way the halacha wants them to be made, so then that's chus you don't have, and the tefillin can maybe cause you an injury. Vei by mitzvah. Amar Papa says the Gemara, that even though the halacha is that you have to make the tefillin a square, that brisa is not a raya. Because that brisa is speaking about a case, ki umza gavakam guza, that you made it sharp like an egg, pointy, and that's why it could be dangerous. But that doesn't mean that it has to be a perfect square. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, tefillin kozman shepnei tavla kayomis, as long as the outside looks whole, even though, as we've been discussing, there are different compartments in the tefillin, and there may be a rip between those compartments, the halacha is that the tefillin are still kshayris. They're kosher. Chizda teaches us nifzaku shtayim, if two walls of the compartments of the tefillin tore kshayris. However, if shloish of three walls got ripped, sulis. Amar Rav Ahada amrit kshayris, when we said that if it's only nikra shtayim kshayris, this is what we just said, where it's only two walls are torn, it's still kosher. It's only leimar zesh like negedzeh, not when the two consecutive compartments. Avol zek negedzeh, if they're consecutive psulus, then it's possible. Says the Gemara. Furthermore, v'zek negedzeh nami leimar al bechadata. By new tefillin that we see that the leather is ripping, it's an indication that this leather is not good leather and it's going to tear. Av batitka, when it's old, less lumba. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So now Abaye asks of Yosef, hey chidam yechadata, vechidam yatikta. How do we identify what's called new and how do we identify what's called old? Amalei, to which Rav Yosef replied, kol hechad ki mitlebei b'shulch v'hadacholam. Any situation that if you would take the ritzus of the tefillin, you would take the bottom of the tefillin and stretch them and they jump back, that's a tikta. Vidach, but if they don't have that elasticity, then they're chadoshes, they're considered chadoshes. Vinaimi, another way of being able to determine if they're chadata or a tikta, kalhecha dikim mitlebe b'misna, anytime if you hold the ritzus of the tefillin, and you pick up azibasrei, the tefillin are connected strong enough that the bayis doesn't get disconnected, that's a proof that it's chadata. Vidach, but if it's not that strongly attached, that's a tikta, that's old tefillin. Says the Gemara, Abaye av Yosef, kameid Rav Yosef. Abaye was sitting in front of Rav Yosef, it's like ritzu the tefillin. The ritzu of the tefillin got ripped. So he asked Rabbi Yosef, Ma'ala Mikdre, what is the halacha? Can I make a knot to fix it? Amalei, to which Rabbi Yosef replied, the pasuk says, Ukshartem, and the word kshartem means take shiratama. And if there's going to be this extra knot, that's not nice. Amalei of Achabrei of Yosef Rashi, Ma lit mitre v'ailet fil lagav. What would be the halacha if you made this knot, but you put it in a way that the knot, that you put it in a way that the tefillin, it's not noticeable? And one of the pshatim that I saw is that something that we've been discussing in our shir, you put it into the mavarta. And since you put it into the mavarta, the knot would not be visible. He says, let's see what everybody does. So I saw two different pshatim in this. Rashi says that nobody wears tefillin that way, and since nobody wears tefillin that way, it's unacceptable to try to fix your tefillin that way. But Tosfos says, quoting the Ben Tam, that actually the opposite. Puchazim ha-medvar, that since we maybe people do it, and since maybe people do it, that's why it's mutter. The Rosh wants to differentiate between the tefillin shel Rosh and the tefillin shel Yad. The tefillin shel Rosh, which are much more visible, he says, would not be acceptable. The tefillin shel Yad, which are not that visible, we could be more lenient. Amar Papa, Gadume Ritzuis, that if the Ritzuis, they come in the front from the tefillin shel Rosh, got ripped, and we only have a little left over, Sheris. Says the Gemara, V'la Melsihi, it's not correct. Midamri b'nei Rabchia Gadume Tchelis, that the Tchelis, the Tzitzis, or Gadume Ezev, we know that we have to sprinkle on somebody who's Tomei Meis that wants to become Tor, a mixture of Mayim Chayim and the ash of the Paraduma. There, if we lost from the length that we're supposed to have, the Ksherim. Why? Because Hossam, who the Tashmishi Mitznuhu, the Tchelis and the Ezoiv are only Tashmishi Mitzvah. They're not Tashmishi Kedusha. And something which is Avol Hocha, when we're speaking about the Tefillin, the Tashmishi Kedusha Nenu, we're speaking about something which is in the category of a Tashmish Kedusha, Loi, it's non-acceptable, says the Gemara. So we're saying that if they got ripped, we need to be concerned. Points out the Gemara, Mechlal Disle Shurei, they have a size. And the Gemara now wants to know, Kama Shurei, what is the length of these Ritzuas? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama, Amar Rav Chama, Amar Resh Lakish, Ad Etzvot Tzureda. So Rashi explains that the definition of Etzvot Tzureda is the space, the amount of space between the index finger and the thumb. Rav Kahana Machri Kafuf, and now the two different versions, what that means. One version is Machri Kafuf, that it means how much somebody could open up his fingers between the index finger and the thumb. And Rav Ashi Machri Poshut, the amount of space that there is between the index finger and the middle finger. That's the way many learn, but there are Rishonim that learn that the discussion here is how long must the tefillin be? Says the Rav Ashi Katalu Pasha Vishadalu. Rav Ashi, when he would put on tefillin, he would put it on his head and he would put the ritzuis to the back of his body. Says the Gemara, however, Rav Achba Yaakov Katalu Matlus Lu, he would put the tefillin and he would put them around his head, the ritzuis. That he put it in the front. And that's the halacha, as we know, that you have to put the ritzuis on to the front of the head. Amar Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav, Shmuel bar Shelus, Shmei d'Rav, Kesh shel Tefillin, the halacha that you have to tie the tefillin, have the snap on the back, halacha l'mashma Sinai. It's halacha l'mashma Sinai. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, v'neveyin, the part that you could tell that's a dalid, levar, has to be facing somebody who's seeing inside. And this is two minhagim on how that kesha should be. Many have a kesha that looks like a dalid, as the Gemara seems to indicate, and that should be visible. Others have a bax, because it should be a double dalid, both for the part that's facing my body and the part that's facing outside. Rav Ashi Aviyosuka made the Mar Zutra. It's Hapklei Ritzur, the Tefillin. The Tefillin, the Ritzur of the Tefillin Shel Rosh got turned over, and you couldn't tell it's a dollar there. Amalei, so he said to him, L'Sovel Amav Noyein Labar, that we have to have it in a way that it's visible outside. Amalei, to which he said, Lav Adai, I made a mistake. So I didn't pay attention. Says the Marvara Kalami, the Pasuk says, V'ra Kalam Aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lech of Yarm Mecca. Tani Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer, what does this refer to? Elu Tefillin Sheberosh. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Noz Kvaydecha, I want to see you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lo Tuchal Liras Uspanai. But even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kav Yochel, you can't see me, and the ever called Tuvi Al Panecha, I will pass by you. V'hoya B'avar Kvaydi, V'samticha V'nikrus Atzor, V'tzakoisi Kape Alech Ad Avri, V'saroisi Es Kape, I'm going to cover you, and then I'm going to take away my hand. V'risa Zachari V'leipari Le River. What does that mean? Amr Rav Chana Begizna, Amr Rav Shim Chsida, B'lem Mishar Allah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Keshen Shal Tefillin. He showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Kesher of his Tefillin, representing the special relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is represented by the tefillin that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears, that those tefillin speak about how we are special to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Yehuda Kesh Tefillin Tzor Shei Lamalam. We should have the tefillin higher up. Kedei Shiyu Yisrael Lamala, to represent that we, Klal Yisrael, should be higher up V'loy Lamata. V'tzor Shiyu Klap Eponim, the back of the tefillin should be corresponding the face. Kedei Shiyu Yisrael Lefnim, again, to represent that we have to be in front, not in back. So our Gemara taught about the tefillin Shabarosh. A very famous story with the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya was home one day, and the Chassidim came and told him that there are people that are coming to attack. And the Baal HaTanya really did not get impressed. And they kept on telling him they're coming closer and closer. They were finally by the house, and when we went by the house, the Baal HaTanya went to the window wearing his tefillin. And as soon as they saw the Baal HaTanya wearing the tefillin, they just ran away. The Chassidim asked the Baal HaTanya, what happened here? So Baal HaTanya said, it's a Gemara, a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'ro kol ami oritz, kishem Hashem nikra lecha, v'yorom emecha. That when they see us wearing the tefillin, and as all the Rishonim explained, especially the tefillin Shel Rosh, that has the shen on it that we spoke about earlier in the shir, that shows our special relationship, and that scares them off. So they asked him, why did this only happen with you? Why doesn't it happen with any of us? So he says, let's pay attention to the Gemara. The Gemara says, V'roi kol ha'maoritz, kishem Hashem nikra lech of yarm emeku, and the Pasuk says, el tefillin sheberosh. And he says, the Gemara doesn't say El Tefillin She'ala Rosh. The Gemara doesn't say the tefillin that are on the head. The tefillin says tefillin She'barosh. When you wear tefillin and they are berosh, they go into your rosh. The lesson of the tefillin, the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, goes into berosh, then we have nothing to worry about. But if the tefillin are not going into us, if the tefillin just remain outside, then we have to be concerned. The pasuk says in Parshas Bamidbar, "Ish al digloi ba'osos lebeis avosam yachnu b'nei Yisrael." And what this pasuk is speaking about, as Klal Yisrael traveled through the midbar, and they were surrounded by their enemies, the pasuk says, "Ish al digloi ba'osos lebeis avosam." They were there by Isis, and Yachdu B'nai Yisrael, they had nothing to be concerned about. So I saw that the Sefer Alufa Yehuda explains what is this Pasuk teaching us. We know, and we're going to learn it in our coming shir, that the tefillin are the ice of Klal Yisrael. And what the Pasuk is saying is, Ish al diglei by Isis. When Klal Yisrael were in the midbar, and they had the oisus on their head, the tefillin, they had nothing to be worried about. The Rabbi Aaron Kotler says that the same story that happened with the Baal HaTanya also happened with the Gra. The Gra was taken to prison. The reason he was taken to prison was that he had tried to make a Jew who was no longer religious again. And it was a Jew who had converted. And for that, he was put into jail. And said Rabbi Aaron about the Gra, the Talmidim were concerned what will happen to him while he's in prison. And the Gra said, there's nothing to worry about. I have nothing to be concerned about because I'm wearing tefillin, and the tefillin that we wear, the tefillin Shebarosh, protect me. However, I also saw that many people have the minig that before they put on the tefillin, they say L'Shem Yichud. And the L'Shem Yichud is the lesson that we're learning here. In the L'Shem Yichud, we say that we're wearing the tefillin Shebarosh, and we say Al Rosh. The tefillin that we're wearing on the Rosh are K'negra Moich, Neshama Shebemoichi, that the Neshama that's in every Jew's heart, that Neshama, what should happen is, when a person is wearing the tefillin and he has a mind that these tefillin are supposed to have such a tremendous effect on us, an effect on our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the tefillin are so powerful and they correspond, as we said earlier, to the tefillin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears, that in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Be'eretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us in the schus of the mitzvah of tefillin.